MGTOW Man, welcome back. What's good? So those that are seeking are the ones that you don't want to seek. And the act of really seeking for anything, not waiting and getting, according to hard work that you often put in throughout areas, largely unrelated areas, are where the true equity is made and where the progress in life is made. So I've always written this down. I've pondered it. I've meditated on it. And specifically at the MGTOW, I've always said, don't ever look for someone that is also looking. This means bars, this means dating websites, and the strongest people come when they're not interested. And this can also go for getting involved with people that are likely looking and have been referred to you by another person. And not that I'm encouraging this anyway. I've never once went to a bar looking or had a dating account, let alone a Facebook account. But for the sake of the story today that I'm going to read, I just wanted to preface with this. So here's the story. It's going to be based largely on this testimony, so to speak, that I received. An unplanned baby combined with the loss of a job. Terrible combo. So I live in Florida after 7 years in SoCal, San Diego to be exact. I took off from Florida when I was 23 to travel the country, and after exploring most of the West Coast, I decided to settle down and find a job in San Diego. I ended up moving up out of the RV I was traveling in for over a year with a coworker that I met at my first job. We hit it off well and had a blast seeking women, unbeknownst to the blue pill and the almighty MGTOW philosophy. So I grew passionately lonely, interesting word use, and resulted to plenty of fish and other dating websites. Neither planned out. I did, however, date a mother of a 7-year-old briefly from POF, but I ended things after a few months due to her extreme emotional swings. I then put on Craigslist an ad for personal training, which happens to be my niche, and a group of 3 women found me. I began training them 3 to 4 times per week, and they all worked at the same company. One of them was an engineer, one was HR, and the other was a receptionist. This is a very reputable company and is internationally known. After a couple months of consistent training, they told me their shipping person was about to retire and they would love if I applied for the job. I had nothing better to strive for at the time, so I did what it took to land an interview with what the would-be boss would be. I ended up getting the job and stayed close with the receptionist, Rachel. I continued to train Rachel and the engineer, Lisa, off and on, but Rachel and I began to train together the most. Rachel is about 15 years older than me, and she could tell I was in need of a woman, as I would repeatedly hit on her in a friendly manner as she would return the light banter. Mind you, I was completely blue-pilled simp mode at the time. She then proceeded to match me with her younger half-sister, Michelle. She was not my type whatsoever, and I clearly wasn't hers either. So mutually, we agreed to this and then suggested me her best friend, Chelsea. After receiving Chelsea's contact info, I began to converse with her in a shy manner. Come to find out, her and I have the same exact birthday, same year, same day, and everything. She's only 4 hours older than me. Oh man, I'm sure she was into signs as well. This seemed to have been the igniter for the first date. Old-fashioned, we made reservations to a brewery restaurant and met her at 1 late October evening. I was absolutely enthralled with her. She dominated the evening by talking the whole time. I'm a little introverted. I was hooked. On our way home, she called me to thank me for dinner. I was sold. We were hooked on each other. We spent every weekend together. I ended up moving in with her a couple months later. After about 5 months of dating, I got her pregnant. She ran out of her usual birth control and took a different branded birth control from Michelle. This, of course, wouldn't take effect until a week or two after administration, and I, of course, continued to come inside her like an idiot, but only after her suggesting it was okay. A month later, we find out she's pregnant. A little background for Chelsea. She works for her parents at a family-owned jewelry store. Her parents are her bosses. They cut her the checks. Let's just say anything she needs will be easily obtained from her parents without question. That's important here. She has 1 older sister and 3 younger adopted sisters, which is also an important thing. And they're all very opinionated and close with each other. That sounds like a lot of fun to deal with. We end up moving out of the small place she owned and into a nice condo in the richest part of San Diego. The baby came and we went from literally dating and getting to know each other to full-blown parents. Neither of us were ready, but we weren't about to abort the baby. I increasingly felt trapped, and it didn't help to feel unaccepted by her upright parents' sisters who had hard times with outsiders anyway. See, when that closely wound group is there, especially with sisters, you cannot crack it. You're not just marrying her, you're marrying them. So I ended up being laid off from the job I got from the woman I trained, which ultimately led me to Chelsea. I then took up selling on eBay and Amazon, combining the knowledge gained from the two previous jobs I had held. She, of course, didn't like the fact I was working from home, even though I was able to watch our daughter throughout the day. She would then later say, our daughter's presence at work wasn't a problem because her parents turned one of the rooms at the jewelry store into a daycare or playroom. Things began to dwindle away in our relationship, and I lost my cool one day through one of our many fights that we had, which only began after the baby was born. I ended up regretfully pushing Chelsea in the hallway of the house. She freaked out, and she went to her parents' house and told them. Afterwards, I was then forced to leave. Her parents demanded this. Chelsea went along with it. Before I left Cali, I was served with child custody papers stating our daughter would, of course, remain with her mother. I was devastated. I left Cali on Valentine's Day of 2017, and ever since, I've been struggling mentally, emotionally, and, of course, financially. I've been drinking heavily at night to escape from the fact I haven't seen my daughter in almost 2 years, and I dream about her every single night and wake up feeling lost and out of control. I'm trying to join the Navy so that I have some sort of direction. Her mother refuses to put our daughter on the phone and claims I am a bad person. Just wanted to send this story to you, in case it inspires you for a future video. I found MGTOW 6 months ago and wish I had found it 6 years ago. So guys, before I say anything, obviously I don't have experience with children. Having children, was never married, have not had to deal with these papers, the family court system. So you guys, if you can give some insight for him as he did in one of the previous videos that I touched on, in which I shared a testimony somewhat similar to this, the guy in Buffalo, please hit him up and ask for his email if he's willing to give it or offer him some advice. But what I want to say is that in the age of hypergamy, there really is no sure death sentence to a relationship, more sure death sentence than this combination of events. A man gets her pregnant. He loses his job. She has created the transaction she was looking for, so she got it. And the motherly instinct is drive within her has been fulfilled in that sense. And now she has her own kid, and they often get super protective at that point. Combine this with the fact that she probably sees you now, even though, you know, more so than before, as a resource provider. It's innately, and I don't know what ultimately fueled the move to the most expensive part of San Diego, but considering that San Diego is almost unlivable and won't be a place that I'll ever consider living because of the cost, I can't imagine what you guys were having to do to pay for that condo. It was probably difficult, and it would get even more difficult for you as time went on. So you've added two threats to your life. There are two new threats in your life that you have always pointed at your neck each day, as if it were a gun. So you've got to avoid the threat of losing your job, losing the confidence that your wife had in you, and subsequently losing your home. In the age of hypergamy, as I've labeled this, the severity of this threat is going to be even greater. A man's kingdom, known as his family, known as his home life, used to be able to be secure and insulated, but it's now being infiltrated, and you're dealing with Trojan horses riddling the confines of your kingdom every day. The walls have been breached. And this is largely the case because of things like cost of living, social media, insecurity of life, despite the fact that she seemingly had everything catered for and provided for her, which probably created a precedent in her eyes. And I know that you didn't plan on having a kid, but this is an example of where this culture, it can backfire in physical sense. And while it's not hookup culture, I'm just loosely extending it to what it might have been. I don't know if seemed like it was more serious than a friends with benefits thing. But now the freedom that he prefaced this email with may in a sense be there physically, but money is going away. And most importantly, he has to live a divided life, wishing to be there as a dad, and knowing that he's not able to get his full story out and garner any respect from people he thought he would have respect from. And he has to deal with the fact that he can't give his daughter the full side of the story. And that's tough. And in the age of hypergamy, signs of artificial weakness, such as losing your job and working from home, despite the fact that there are practical reasons to do so, okay, it's going to be viewed as physical weakness. It's almost likened to not being able to work the fields or being weak and inefficient in hunting. And this is how it's interpreted. And working at home in the primal eyes of your wife is viewed as, this man is a poor choice. I resent him. He's not taking risks. He's not slaying dragons, which is the really misleading expectation, the Disney expectation. Therefore, he won't be able to provide for me or my dear child unless I'm justified in leaving. And sure, it was triggered by the push in the hallway, but there was entropy already there. And in all likelihood, in any of these stories where there's that false tipping point push, I guess, truthfully, this would have happened down the road sometime. And it's an indication that it would happen anyway, seeing that the relationship was probably going to be on the rocks going forward. So there are one too many minefields in the field of life that the blue pill paradigm offers. And even if there are a lot of places to walk in the minefield without triggering a bomb, I don't really even care. I don't want to bother. What is once love quickly turns into resentment in the world that exudes toxicity. So I've said all of this, but what can be said to our man now going forward? And I don't have experience, like I said, or the emotional connection of not being able to see a kid. So for all of you guys out there that are listening that can relate to this, please offer your insights. And also maybe dish out some light pursuits and reorientations that you can offer him now. But MGTOW right now, which is relatively new to you, is probably going to come across in a more interesting and pertinent way when there are similar stories to the one that you've offered to me. Or within the red pill rage angle. I'm not saying that you have rage, but during this period, you are usually, I know that I was, looking for answers of the past rather than explanations of things to do in the future. You're looking for explanations of female nature. So my encouragement, man, is that you need to, as you are, find the thing that will engulf your passions and your mind. It's almost a certain period of going dark in a sense, where it's a constant searching for that, the appropriate searching. And I see that you're doing that with the Navy, but man, what are your skills? You know those skills, you've set them. What sets you apart? What will reignite the confidence in terms of consuming the MGTOW content? Continue to consume it, but I would recommend continue to write, but write for your own self now. Put your thoughts and reflections on paper. Write, speak, and articulate it, because nothing has helped me digest MGTOW in my life and shortcomings more than making content and how I'm going to go forward other than writing it and making content. It's a mind dump. And I'm not saying that you have to make content, but just reflect, listen, and share. So again, men, offer your support and insight below. And thank you, my man, for sharing this with me. I hope that it finds you well. You have more life to live than not. Opportunities await. It's better. It's a bitter freedom. It's probably bitter freedom too, but it's freedom too nonetheless. And if you have another similar story or another testimony to share, sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodies, where you can hit me up. Hoodies out, men. Hoodies out.